Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Who should stay and who should go?
Should I stay or should I go now?
With Bruce Levine and David Haw on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
Hour two of the show alongside Bruce, Mike Esposito in for David this week. And Bruce, for our should he stay or should he go, we head to the south side. We figure there'll be lots of staying and going over this winter with new GM Chris Getz.
Absolutely. And Chris was on a Zoom call yesterday talking about the 5-for-1 trade. And at that time, I asked him a direct question about whether or not the trade situation was involving specific players. And as you'll hear in this soundbite, you will hear him talk a little bit about the chances of Eloy Jimenez moving on elsewhere.
I've made it very clear that certainly the White Sox are willing to listen on any of our players. You know, when it comes to Eloy, I know for one, we just had a visit with him down in the Dominican Republic as a check-in, and you know, he's off and running with his off-season program. He looks really good. He looks motivated. He looks determined. Obviously, he needs to maintain that. But Eloy's potential with his bat, we've seen glimpses of it. It's just been lack of consistency, mainly because of missed time. So, you know, teams are interested. It certainly just has to make sense for both sides.
So there's Getz yesterday, Bruce, and you asked him about that. And it's an interesting thing because we all know that Eloy can hit, you know, rolling out of bed, and you could probably hit 30 homers in a season. The big question, though, always has been health. And I was looking at this yesterday. He's never played more than 122 games in a season. And the health thing is really a big deal when it comes to him.
Yeah, well, the good news is he played 120 last year. There's the second most that he played in his career. The first time was 5 years ago when he played 122. In the middle, and again, you're still missing 40 games, okay? You're missing, you know, one quarter of the season, even the most games you played. So that's not great. So when a team is looking to trade for Eloy, they know the power is there. They know the ability to put the bat on the ball is there and drive it to center, right center, and be a run producer. The one thing that they don't know is how many games they're going to get out of him, how productive will this player be? Can they keep him on the field? And that is a driving force for the White Sox as well, listening to deals for Eloy Jimenez. Not that they don't like Eloy Jimenez. It's just, how do you quantify what he's worth to your team if he doesn't play all the games? So they had a lot of motion moving forward toward the trading deadline before Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn were let go afterwards, and other teams interested. The Marlins were certainly interested in trading for Eloy Jimenez. Instead, they ended up getting Jake Berger from the White Sox in a trade that we'll see how it works out for the pitcher Elder going down the line here. But, Mike, nonetheless, you know, Eloy has the ability, if he plays 140 or 150 games, to hit 40 home runs, drive in 125. He's a natural hitter. Not anything else for Eloy Jimenez is very natural. He doesn't have a natural position. He doesn't run naturally. He's not a great baseball athlete, but he can hit. And that's going to intrigue other teams out there. And we'll see if the White Sox will be able to continue their mode toward moving for more pitching. The key to the Chicago White Sox rebuild, Mike, is getting a lot of pitching elsewhere, developing young pitching, and then moving forward and rebuilding some of the offense. But defense and pitching is the way that they're going. So from that perspective, trading Jimenez, trading Dylan Cease with 2 years left on his contract, these are things that they're going to talk an awful lot about moving into the winter meetings here in a couple weeks. And they're going to be one of the busier teams as far as talking to other teams. They have been already. You already saw the 1-for-5 trade that they made. The White Sox are not standing still. They are on a mission to rebuild their team. And they're going to do it pitching and defense first.
White Sox fans, let's hear from you. 312-644-6767. You've heard from Chris Getz what he's talking about, and he's taking calls on Eloy, and Bruce has reported as much, and what Bruce is saying here about the White Sox and their plans in the offseason. What do you think? What do you want to see happen here at 312-644-6767, calls or texts? And Bruce, I think with what's happening already, and I really enjoy what Getz did with the Bummer trade. I like a lot of the pieces they got. They have a lot of holes. They have to fill a lot of those holes. Pitching and defense is what they got back in that Atlanta trade. And from your reporting, it sounds like that's where you think Chris Getz is going to start and what he's going to look for when he makes deals this offseason.
And if you want more on that, other than me and Mike talking about it the rest of the show, go to our website, 670thescore.com, where I have a story up with Getz thoughts about where the White Sox are going in and Eloy as well. But Mike, I have a trade for you, okay? The Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox. The Chicago White Sox trade Dylan Cease to the Chicago Cubs for first Ben Brown, one of their number one right-handed pitching prospects that should vie for a rotation spot with the Cubs this year, and two or three more young players to, again, help fortify the White Sox pitching going forward. That's what they want the most. That's what they need. Maybe they'll settle for a young shortstop like Vasquez, who has no spot to go to right now because that's blocked by Swanson for the next 5 or 6 years. So with that in mind, would you, knowing that the Chicago Cubs have good starting pitching but not great power arms, would you make a move with 2 years of contract control left and Dylan Cease and trade with the Chicago Cubs if you were Chris Getz?
If I'm Chris Getz, I would, or if I'm Jed Hoyer, or if I'm Chris Getz, if I'm Jed Hoyer and I am asked, do I want Dylan Cease added to this team? I mean, you lost Stroman, he opted out. You have Hendricks coming back, you have Steele coming back. If I'm the Cubs, and especially if I'm in go for it, win the World Series right now, I would you'd absolutely have to consider it, right? I mean, Brown, as great of a prospect as he is, you don't know what his future holds. And the Cubs, as we have read, and it's a great thing to be able to talk about, the Cubs having one of the best farm systems in baseball, by all accounts, they do have that at the moment. So you have pieces to trade, and with two more years of cost control for Cease, I know his last season was a red flag. It was not a successful season by any means. I think you'd have to do your homework on that if you're the Cubs. But in general, I would go for something like that, Bruce.
Yeah, Mike, you know, look, Cease did have a bad year for him. He set the standard to his career the year before where he and Verlander were fighting all the way for the Cy Young Award in the American League, and he finished second. He had a phenomenal year, and it showed, you know, what he was all about. Even with the bad year that he had, he finished sixth in the American League in strikeouts. So So he is a power arm. And when you look at the Chicago Cubs, both the rotation and the bullpen, there's a huge area that's missing. And they have really good pitchers, and they have guys that can go out there and get outs. But they're missing power arms, okay? They need power arms in the bullpen. They need power arms in the rotation. And this would satisfy a huge need in the rotation for a power arm.
We had a texter point out, Bruce, at 312-644-6767. No more Cub Sox trades after we were talking about Eloy Jimenez, and then we start talking about this one. And it's funny because as we go out to the phone lines, you know, the Eloy trade with Cease going to the Sox for Jose Quintana was such a huge move for the Cubs back in 2017, I want to say it was. But and now the Sox looking at possibly moving on from one or both of those pieces. As we go out to the phones, talking Sox with Ron on the south side. He's up on Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Hey, Mike and Bruce, real quick. Yeah, sooner they can get rid of Eloy. I was hoping they could have maybe kept Berger and got rid of him. You have a DH that had 64 RBIs, and that is absolutely all he can do is hit. And but also, you know, one of the things I didn't want to see going into the next season, that quote-unquote nucleus come back, that, Tim Anderson, Eloy. Because, you know, guys, and if you really look at that when this team was rebuilding and was looking to make its move, the three failures, Eloy, Yoan Moncada, and Michael Kopech. But lastly, see here, I would love to see Yoan Moncada traded also, but nobody's going to take that $25 million contract for another guy like Eloy who's not reliable. But yes, as soon as they can get, I don't think you're going to get a lot for Eloy, but whatever they can get, because like I said, those guys are pretty much the epitome of the failed White Sox team. So, yeah, as soon as they can get rid of them, I'll be very happy. Have a good day, guys.
Appreciate that, Ron. And, yeah, I tend to agree, Bruce. I like Eloy as a person. I know he's a great hitter. But for what the Sox are hoping to accomplish in this offseason and where they want to go from here, I don't think he fits. I don't think with what Getz is trying to do that this is a priority at this time. Of course, you want to have good hitters on your team, but it certainly sounds like you could flip him and get more types of players that Getz is looking for.
Right. So, you know, what Ron said kind of rings true. Are you going to get what real value you as a White Sox executive or you as a White Sox fan think you should get for Eloy Jimenez? Is he thought of as the same hitter and the same player he was 2 years ago as he is now? And the answer to that in many quarters is no. However, again, project those other 25 or 30 games, project the home runs and the RBIs. The guy can flat out hit. He didn't have a great year, but he still gets the bat on the ball. And as he progresses and he strengthens himself, he should still be a 30-100 guy for somebody. And somebody looking for DH, look, Mike, there's not a lot of those guys out there, okay? So with that said, don't undersell the idea that the White Sox can get a pitcher or two back that they really want for Eloy Jimenez. And I think that's their goal as they move toward the winter meetings.
312-644-6767 is our number for Inside the Clubhouse. Sox fans talking your offseason, specifically Eloy Jimenez right now, and we head out to Naperville next. Larry is on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Couldn't disagree more with the last caller. I agree with him completely on Moncada. I don't think you can compare the two. Moncada's only briefly shown any kind of he hit 1 year where he hit 300 or whatever. I don't put him in the same class ever. Will he ever be the hitter that an Eloy is? I also think, as a season ticket holder, Sox don't have many guys that are likable right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fan base still really likes Eloy Jimenez. But more importantly, you said it, Bruce, there aren't many guys that can hit like him. Now, I understand we need pitching. They're getting pitching. They're trying other avenues to get pitching. What is he, 27 years old? Is it possible? I don't know. I'm disappointed when he goes out all the time. But I like watching this guy hit. And, you know, he's absolutely a guy guaranteed to hit 30-plus homers and probably hit close to 300. You just don't find those guys. I would not give up at this stage of the game on Eloy Jimenez unless you got something absolutely you couldn't turn down. That's my opinion.
Thanks much, Larry. Appreciate it. It's, you know, it's an interesting concept, and I don't disagree with Larry. I believe that Jimenez will, if he can stay on the field, Mike,
right,
he will regain. The thing that alarmed the White Sox last year is the power was gone, okay? You know, he only had 40 extra base hits in 500 at bats, okay? So that's not going to get it done. That's not quintessential Eloy Jimenez, all right? So when you look at him, and they're bringing in a new hitting coach, and we're gonna talk to him in just a few minutes. We're gonna talk to him about Eloy and some of the other hitters. But when you look at Eloy, you look at the lower half. You know he's had a lot of leg issues, a lot of trauma to the legs. Has that impacted his ability to use his lower half to hit for power? That's what you hear from scouts. That's what you look for in Jimenez, is his days as a big power hitter over with. We know he can hit, but will he hit 30 homers? Will he hit 30 doubles, something he's never done before? So with that in mind, there is a lot of science put into this, looking forward to whether or not they can get quality players back for Eloy Jimenez.
To your point, Bruce, in 2019, which was his first year with the Sox and his best season, he hit 31 homers and just over 500 at-bats. And then in this past season, 489 at-bats, so just about the exact same number of at-bats. And instead of 31 homers, only 18 this past season for Eloy. So the lack of power or the loss of power is certainly noticeable from
Mike, look at the doubles, okay? You got the numbers up. How many doubles did he hit? You know, he's not a doubles hitter throughout his career. He's only had over 20, I think, once in his career.
This past year, 23.
Yeah. So with that in mind, you have to get slug. You can't just imagine slug. You have to get it from a hitter if you're paying him the amount of money you're paying him and your expectations are high and putting him in the 3, 4, or 5 slot in your lineup. That's what they have to face here with him. Hopefully bringing back in a trade what they would like to get back.
The OPS 758 last year, not good enough for somebody that you need the pop from. Back out to the phones we go. On the south side, we find Kevin. He's up next on Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Bruce. I just kind of talking about Eloy Jimenez. I don't know if he has a ton of value outside to other teams. With his contract next year is over $13.8 million. And I think with just like him not being able to play a full season, I don't know what type of value the Sox can get back. Maybe it can be like a trade for a veteran with a similar contract or as a bigger contract that they can kind of do a swap with the Sox, see if that guy can bounce back. And then I also was considering a trade for, you guys were talking about Dylan Cease. I think the Baltimore Orioles have the firepower and the prospects to do it. Guys that are close to the major league ready. I know a lot of guys are getting blocked, such as like an infielder, Joey Ortiz, who's a shortstop, Connor Norby, and an outfielder, Heston, I'm going to butcher the name here, Kjerstad. I think the Baltimore Orioles would be a good fit. They need a frontline starter. I think they found that out the hard way in the playoffs, and they're a team that's an up and coming. So I just want to see what you guys' thoughts were on those thoughts. Thank you.
Pitching, and more pitching is the way that a top baseball executive told me the White Sox are going to be going. Okay, Mike? So that's what they're trying to fortify. They're trying to insulate the defense so they can back up that pitching, but that is their way to try to rebuild the White Sox. If you're trading Jimenez, if you're trading Cease, expect the White Sox to demand pitching back in return that they can develop or plug right into their rotation.
Yeah, no, and I think Kevin, and we appreciate his call, I think he definitely hit on something. You have teams like Atlanta, who they just traded with, or like Baltimore, who also has a ton of great young players, but might be missing pieces to help them contend for a World Series as opposed to fall short in the playoffs. Those are definitely teams to look at for trade partners in terms of what the White Sox are looking for. But yeah, I mean, and it makes sense, Bruce, right? I mean, stop the opposition, pitch well, defend well, and you've already seen Chris Getz kind of lean in that direction already.
And get more athletic, okay?
Yep.
Try to produce something different in the way of run production other than trying to hit a home run. We're going to talk to Marcus Thames next on Inside the Clubhouse. He's the new hitting instructor for the Chicago White Sox. He's Mike. I'm Bruce, here with you every Saturday talking baseball on The Score, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Good job by Jimenez to work it back to 2-2. Leadoff man on. Sox would love to cash in. Eloy cranks one deep to left. Yelich looks back. It is gone. That'll do. A two-run shot by Jimenez. And the White Sox lead 4-2.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Highlight courtesy NBC Sports Chicago, that the sound of an Eloy Jimenez home run off of the Milwaukee Brewers earlier this season. To talk White Sox and to talk hitting, we jump on out now to the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois, home of the world's largest sports book.
And the new hitting coach of the Chicago White Sox, Marcus Thames, nice enough to join us on Inside the Clubhouse. Marcus, appreciate you stepping in and joining us today on a Saturday morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Look, I know, you know, stepping into a new hitting coach job is not the easiest thing in the world. Kind of take us through a little bit of the homework that you have to do. I know, having been a hitting coach in the American League for a long time, you're very familiar with the White Sox, but the organization itself and some of the minor leaguers and people like that, what goes into your homework as you take over this position?
Trying to get to know some of the guys and just talking with the front office and trying to see, you know, with some of our R&D department to see if they have any information on any weaknesses and strengths and stuff like that. And I'll start jotting that stuff down and then start diving into video and get my ideas of, you know, whenever I start talking with certain guys and I have kind of a foundation of, you know, where I want to start with them. But first of all, I like listening to the player, listen to the hitter, see what they've been doing this winter, and try to go from there.
Marcus, as you come into Chicago and you've coached going back to 2016, starting with the Yankees, but as you continue on in your career and coaching, How much of your playing career do you lean on? How much of that is relevant to what you're talking about with the modern day player versus, you know, when you were playing back 20 years ago? Obviously, I'm sure a lot of things have changed there, but a lot of things remain the same, too.
Yeah, I mean, you always have to lean on experience, but I'm always trying to stay relevant with what's going on in the game today. But experience is something that you can't overlook. I do use some of the things that, you know, I use as a player, and the number one thing was communication and listening to my player. I was always a good teammate, and I always tried to be there for my teammates. You know, I wasn't an everyday guy, so. Being able to pick some brains of a lot of really good hitters and things like that. So I just try to combine everything together, and I think that makes it a lot easier on you.
Marcus, when you look at the White Sox and you look at the on-base percentage, you look at the walks, you know, for a million years covering the sport, people tell me you cannot teach people how to walk. However, they do insist, and I wonder what your theory is, that you can be more selective, that you can be smarter about working counts, that you can work counts to your favor. What is your philosophy about a team that had so much trouble making right selections and not being a team that walked?
Just getting guys to understand who they are and doing their homework on the opposing pitchers. I think sometimes, you know, when you go up and I'm just going to swing the swing, and I think that's when you get in trouble. You just start making a lot of weak outs and going outside of your zone. I've always thought that every hitter is totally different. You know, like I don't want to cookie-cut guys and put guys in a box, but I want our guys to understand who they are, what their strengths are, and continue to help educate them. You have a couple of guys on the roster that has 3-4 years in the league. Now they're starting to learn what guys are trying to do to them, but they have to start making sure they're doing their homework. And the number one thing for me, we're going to be prepared. We're going to be prepared before we go out there and have an idea of what that guy on the mound is trying to do to us.
Talking to new White Sox hitting coach Marcus Thames. And Marcus, before you joined us just in the last segment, we were talking about Eloy Jimenez, because here's a guy who's got great talent. He's a 30 home run guy when healthy, but he certainly had his ups and downs and with his health over the past few years. When you look at Eloy, and obviously you're just coming in, so I know you don't know him super well personally yet, but as just looking at him from the outside as a guy in the game, what do you see in Eloy Jimenez, and what do you see as keys for him for success?
Really, really talented guy. I actually spoke with him 2 days ago on the phone just to see where he's at during the offseason. For me, it's like kind of what I said early on. Like, it seemed like, you know, his basketball skills are so elite. And sometimes it just seems like he's trying to just trying to put anything in play. And with a big guy like that, if he can just shrink the zone to his zone, he'll get more extra base hit. And that's going to be our focus with him. Just letting him know, like, we know you can hit certain pitches, but you don't want to hit pitches, you know, until you get the 2 strikes, then we have to battle. But early in the count, old counts and stuff like that, and we're heading to count. We got to continue to work, make sure we're staying in our zone. And if he can start doing that on an everyday basis, just watching video and seeing him from across the other side, he can do a lot of damage.
Marcus, soft tissue injuries have wreaked havoc on the Chicago White Sox hitters, all the way from Robert to Eloy, as well as Moncada. Explain a little bit about the lower half of the body and what it has to do to be able to, or what it has to be able to do if a hitter is going to hit and hit with authority. Talk a little bit about the lower trunk and when guys might be back on the field but might not still be impactful because they don't have the strength in that area.
Yeah, I'm always a guy that always thought hitting started from the ground up. And when you have some stuff going on down below, man, it really hinders you. So we just got to make sure these guys are taking good care of themselves, and I know they will. Things happen sometimes that you can't control. Injuries happen sometimes, they can't control that. But we just got to make sure we keep an eye on it. You know, even with myself, if I see something in their swing or something like that, if some exit velos and stuff are down, I'll make sure I start, like, you know, checking to make sure their lower half and stuff is working right. And just try to do my part on the offensive side of things as the offensive coach. And just try to make sure I relay that to the strength and conditioning department. But if your lower half is beat up, man, it's really hard to have that strong foundation.
Talking to Marcus Thames, the White Sox new hitting coach, and Marcus, last year with the Angels, we want to talk a lot about the White Sox, but I have to ask you, because with the Angels, you had two of the best players in the world, and with Ohtani especially, just an amazing type of performer, not only on the pitching mound, but certainly hitting for power. What did you see from him, and what were his kind of keys to success as you watched him and coached him over the past year?
Just watching him work. I mean, everything he did, it was detailed. His cage work, it was solid. He didn't take one swing that wasn't serious. Every swing that he took, it had a meaning behind it. So just watching him do that in the cage and watching him do his homework and wanting my input on certain pitchers or making sure if he gets out of whack, just giving him a heads up if I see anything. But every single day, he didn't take a day off in the cage, you know, and that's the one thing about the guys that are really good, man. They don't take time days off in the cage. It's in their work. They're really, really keen on their work when they're doing it, paying attention to detail. But it was a treat to watch.
Marcus, Ohtani is so disciplined in his time, and you explained it pretty well that he didn't take time off, but it seems his organization, if you can even fathom preparing as a pitcher and a hitter at the same time, working with a pitching coach and a hitting coach simultaneously, it's no wonder that he curtailed any interviews whatsoever until after games that he pitched in, because his day must be as filled and organized as any player that you've seen.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing to see. You know, before I even got over to Anaheim, I heard about his work ethic, but just seeing it on an everyday basis, what he had to do to get ready to play in a major league game. On the days he pitched, he would just only take a few swings just to reserve his body. But like, he knew what he was trying to do. He's a really smart guy. He understands a lot of different numbers, so he used those numbers as a hitter that he did as a pitcher. So he tried to combine that stuff together on the offensive side, but really smart athlete, man, really talented guy. But it was, like I said early on, it was a treat to watch.
Marcus, as you come into the White Sox, and I'm sure you and Chris Getz and the other guys in the front office there have had these conversations, what do you hope to bring? It was a tough year for the Sox last year. What do you hope to bring into the dugout and to the hitters there on the White Sox roster as they go into 2024?
We're going to have some energy, man. And like I told the guys, you know, I've been talking to some of the players, like I told them before, we're going to be prepared. And I think if you're prepared the right way with the talent that our roster has, things will be a lot better. So for me, number one, you're going to see a team that's going to be prepared, and we're going to understand who we are. We're going to play a style of baseball that our roster gives us. You know, we got a couple of guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, but we don't want guys to get on base. Get on base in front of the big guys and let them knock them in. And, you know, we're going to do some situational stuff that I've said this a couple of times, that it seems like sometimes the game has gotten away from that. But then you see, once the postseason starts, you see guys bunt. You see guys trying to hit and run. That's the kind of team we're going to have, and that's the kind of roster they're trying to put together. So we're going to have some fun on the bases and make sure we're controlling the strike zone and dominating our zone and make some things happen on the bases.
Marcus, in closing with you, Mike and I appreciate your time today. Look forward to getting to know you in spring training for sure this year. When you look at hitting coaches these days, and when you probably started playing way back in the day, not every team had two hitting coaches. That's the philosophy now, two hitting coaches and obviously hitting labs with all of the metrics going on. How much do you rely on metrics yourself? How much is gut? And do you think one message from two hitting coaches is the appropriate thing for you going forward?
Well, I think having two guys is important now. It's just so much going on. There's a lot of, like you talk about, like the metrics and stuff like that. But and having two guys, too, you have to make sure you have two guys that are aligned with the same type of philosophy. But also, certain guys connect to certain hitting guys, so that's also important. But having two guys is important. But just making sure that you're aligned with the same things, and there's a lot going on. And I do use the metrics but I use my gut too. There's a blend of it. You know, you have to combine it, and there's a lot of good information out there, but everybody's different. Certain guys like certain things, so it's my job to figure out who likes what. So whatever we can do to make them better.
Marcus, thanks so much. Appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. And again, look forward to getting to know you and working with you in spring training. Have a great holiday season. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Marcus. That's Marcus Thames, the new White Sox hitting coach. You remember him best probably as a player from the Detroit Tigers back during the mid-2000s, and certainly a nice player during his career. And now the new White Sox hitting coach. And you heard Bruce, he said it right there. They're trying to put together a team that's going to be good on the bases and execute better than the previous team had. And we'll see what kind of guys they bring in the roster this year.
Yeah, they're going to be more athletic. I can guarantee you that. That's the direction that Getz and his front office have been talking about and working at. Getting more athletic up the middle, okay? Better defenders at second and short, catching fortified. You have the most elite center fielder in baseball in Luis Robert. He admits he can get better, as good as he is. So that's where that's where teams grow. That's how they become better teams. Look no further than 8 miles away at Wrigley Field last year. What was the improvement, the major improvement in the Cubs that helped them win games last year? It was their defense. It was having Swanson at short. It was having Horner at second. It was having an everyday catcher with the same philosophy behind home plate. It was having Bellinger in center field. It's no mistake. It's no joke that the Cubs were a better team because they were better defensively. They had those players to fortify the pitching. It's not exciting for fans to hear about defense in baseball, but it's the most essential thing that you need if you're going to have a good pitching staff, if you're going to be a winner. You must have players that are athletic, that can play up those positions and play it to the hilt.
Absolutely. And you know what? I will take exception to that. I think it was very exciting watching the Cubs play defense last year because you knew, you could tell just watching the game that was how they were winning games in some cases. So it was absolutely a joy to watch.
Yeah.
And we'll see if the Sox can do it again, get back to that this year.
You know, look, I loved, watching Wilson Contreras play, his arm, his power, everything else. But, you know, you saw a drastic change in the pitching staff last year, okay? And that change was with Yan Gomes being the primary catcher on that team. That's not a knock on Wilson. It's just the reality that Gomes was a better general behind the plate, took charge of that team like it needed to be, and that was essential. So these little things that people, you know, kind of roll their eyes at about, catcher's presence, about defense up the middle, they're essential to winning, Mike.
Absolutely. One more segment for us. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will talk about the All-Star game and what the Cubs need to do to get it, because some news came out this week, and once again, the Cubs did not get that. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the award winners from both leagues this season, some unanimous and familiar faces that we'll see on that list as well. More of your calls and texts as well, 312-644-6767. This is Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
And one more segment for us here on Inside the Clubhouse. A quick reminder, tune in all day Monday for reaction to Bears versus Lions. Gabe Ramirez live overnight from midnight to 5, followed by Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, and Parkins and Spiegel throughout your workday, so hang with us on Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank, and it's not a game, Illinois.com. All of it can be heard on 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app. And Bruce, we were talking before the break. I mentioned the All-Star game. So Atlanta is awarded the All-Star game in 2025, and it was a surprise to me to find out. I mean, I knew it had been a long time, but it's been a very long time since Wrigley Field hosted the All-Star game.
Well, the next three All-Star games are already taken, okay? So Texas next year, Atlanta, and then Philadelphia is promised for 26, you know, for obvious reasons, 150 years, you know, of our country. So with that in mind, you know the Cubs don't have any shot until 2027, and it's, you know, you have one of the jewels of baseball in Wrigley Field that the Cubs have been dying to host an All-Star game. They got lights in 88. They got the game in 90. And now they're told that marketing is the reason why they're not getting a new team. Marketing and security. Marketing being the fact that the new teams that have new ballparks or the teams that have new ballparks are getting all of these All-Star games as part of the overall marketing plan for them and Major League Baseball. And the security issue at Wrigley Field has been the major problem moving forward. They have to have barriers that go all the way around the ballpark, Mike. It's not something that Major League Baseball will allow without having barriers. You can't build a barrier where Clark Street is, okay? Clark is a main artery of Chicago. Addison's a main artery. Building barriers so that somebody can't drive a vehicle into the ballpark is almost impossible. And that's what Major League Baseball insists upon for security moving forward. So the new mayor, Mayor Johnson, is working hard with Crane Kenny and the Chicago Cubs to come up with a plan and come up with a ability to reroute, and that's what we're looking at with the Cubs. And Mike, thanks for a great show today. We thank Tyler for a great job producing, our guests as well. Doug Melvin, the former GM of the Brewers, joined us, as did Marcus Thames, the new hitting coach of the White Sox. Mike, people can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine, on our website 670thescore.com, where I write for both the Cubs and White Sox all week long. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Bruce, appreciate your help as always. You could follow me on Twitter at Espo670. Thanks again to Tyler Ferengul, and thanks to Marcus Thames and Doug Melvin. Coming up next right here on The Score, some Saturday suckage for you. Steve Rosenblum and all of the fun that accompanies him will join us next here at Saturday Suckage, next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
And one more segment for us here on Inside the Clubhouse. A quick reminder, tune in all day Monday for reaction to Bears versus Lions. Gabe Ramirez live overnight from midnight to 5, followed by Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, and Parkins and Spiegel throughout your workday, so hang with us on Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank, and it's not a game, Illinois.com. All of it can be heard on 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app. And Bruce, we were talking before the break. I mentioned the All-Star game. So Atlanta is awarded the All-Star game in 2025, and it was a surprise to me to find out. I mean, I knew it had been a long time, but it's been a very long time since Wrigley Field hosted the All-Star game.
Well, the next three All-Star games are already taken, okay? So Texas next year, Atlanta, and then Philadelphia is promised for 26, you know, for obvious reasons, 150 years, you know, of our country. So with with that in mind, you know the Cubs don't have any shot until 2027. And it's, you know, you have one of the jewels of baseball in Wrigley Field that the Cubs have been dying to host an All-Star game. They got lights in 88. They got the game in 90. And now they're told that marketing is the reason why they're not getting a new team. Marketing and security. Marketing being the fact that the new teams that have new ballparks, or the teams that have new ballparks, are getting all of these All-Star games as part of the overall marketing plan for them and Major League Baseball. And the security issue at Wrigley Field has been the major problem moving forward. They have to have barriers that go all the way around the ballpark, Mike. It's not something that Major League Baseball will allow without having barriers. You can't build a barrier where Clark Street is, okay? Clark is a main artery of Chicago. Addison's a main artery. Building barriers so that somebody can't drive a vehicle into the ballpark is almost impossible. And that's what that's what Major League Baseball insists upon for security moving forward. So the new mayor, Mayor Johnson, is working hard with Crane Kenny and the Chicago Cubs to come up with a plan and come up with a ability to reroute, and that's what we're looking at with the Cubs. And Mike, thanks for a great show today. We thank Tyler for a great job producing, our guest as well. Doug Melvin, the former GM of the Brewers, joined us, as did Marcus Thames, the new hitting coach of the White Sox. Mike, people can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine, on our website 670thescore.com, where I write for both the Cubs and White Sox all week long. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Bruce, appreciate your help as always. You can follow me on Twitter at Espo670. Thanks again to Tyler Farengel, and thanks to Marcus Thames and Doug Melvin. Coming up next right here on The Score, some Saturday suckage for you. Steve Rosenblum and all of the fun that accompanies him will join us next here at Saturday Suckage, next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.